Welcome, everybody, to the Living Hope Finley podcast. I'm with my friends, Dewey and Dave. Hey, guys.
Hey, hey.
Hi, Blair.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Well, we kicked off Jesus' identification yesterday in Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. And so it was his baptism. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it got me thinking about baptism, and had some people share some stories yesterday. And we had some people baptized yesterday, so that was exciting. Three people in our church. But a question for you guys. What's one of your favorite baptism stories from your experience or from your memory bank? What do you got?
My favorite is the first time I baptized somebody. So I was staying at my aunt and uncle's place, and my cousin was there, and she was going through a lot, so I offered to pray for her, and then I walked through the gospel with her, and she accepted Jesus and started reading the Bible with her. And 3 days later, sitting at the beach of the lake behind her house, and she's explaining the gospel back to her family about why she wants to get baptized.
Awesome.
And ka-chunk. It's a great story.
Got baptized.
Cool.
Awesome. How about you?
So my mom and dad came to Christ later in life, and they were baptized. But my mom's parents grew up in a denomination, raised my mom in a denomination that baptized as infants, and they were very disappointed with my mom and dad for being baptized. They were baptized together at the same time. And through time, though, my grandparents professed faith in Jesus, and my mom and dad's pastor baptized my grandma and grandpa.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. I have a story similar about parents. So my parents came to Christ later in life. I'm not mimicking your story, but that's what happened. And so back in 2010, I believe it was, they were getting baptized through their church, but I got to participate. So I preached a sermon in the church I was in Michigan. On Sunday morning, we hopped in the car, we drove 4 hours, 4.5 hours, and my parents were getting baptized in Lake Huron, which is where the church did their baptisms. But it was like a violently windy day, and the waves were crashing, and it was crazy. So I remember me and the leader from their church baptized my dad, and he got pretty wet because, you know, we kind of timed the wave right. But my mom, when we went back with her to baptize her, like all the water just went sucked backwards. And I was like, there was no water there hardly for her to get baptized. So I don't think she got completely wet, but it was a pretty neat, meaningful experience for me to baptize my parents. And they shared their testimony in front of the family that came and everything. So that was really neat. So we were just laughing about that the other day, me and my parents, about that crazy, violent day, violent wind and waves day that they got baptized. So it was bordering on dangerous out there. So, well, our passage is Matthew 3, 13 through 17. And it's about Jesus' baptism, as I mentioned. So let me read it here quickly, and then we'll walk through it. It says, Jesus, but John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus, answering, said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Son of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice of the heavens out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right, guys, in my sermon, and maybe we can discuss this, the big question I think a lot of people ask with this, and I even asked it, why would Jesus get baptized? You know, John's baptism was for repentance and for forgiveness of sins. So why, if the Bible is correct that Jesus was sinless, which, you know, there's evidence for that for sure, then why did he get baptized? So what are some reasons that Jesus underwent baptism, do you think?
One thing you pointed out was that Jesus was baptized, and you pointed it out from the text. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So one, Jesus was obedient to the Father, but he was being obedient on our behalf. And we talked about the act of obedience of Jesus Christ and how Jesus fulfills all righteousness. So when we think about our own walk with Christ, it's like, I fall short. My motives are tainted with sin, but Jesus was 100% righteous. And so he did it all on our behalf. And so here we have him faithfully obeying the Father at this point, fulfilling all righteousness.
Yeah. Thank God for that. Yeah. One picture of Jesus' obedience is his baptism too. Dave, talk to us more about how God identified his son through the baptism. What do we see happening in the text, and then what does that mean for us?
Yeah, so it seems like Jesus is telling John what's happening, what, you know, fulfilling all righteousness, that something's happening that you don't fully understand what's going on, right? So it's like Jesus is getting baptized, but it doesn't fit John's baptism. It's not a baptism of repentance. Something else is going on, and Jesus is like, go along with me on this. Yes. Just baptize me, right? And then when he gets baptized in the passage, right? What does it say? The heavens open, right?
Yep, verse 17, yep.
Verse 17, the Spirit of God descends on him as a dove, comes to rest on him, and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. And that didn't happen with anyone else who got baptized. That happened, you know? So you have Jesus, right, going off of John's baptism. And his baptism is something more than John's baptism. And what happens is you have the whole Trinity here. You have God the Son, you have God the Father pronouncing, right, his pleasure and his joy and identification that this is my beloved Son. And you have the God the Holy Spirit coming down, right, on Jesus and beginning his ministry. So yeah, this is very much a new baptism because this is showing who Jesus truly is.
Yeah, a little, I appreciate the explanation. And a little teaser for next time is this also serves as Jesus' inauguration for his ministry with his baptism and the Spirit coming upon him. So we'll save more for that next time. But a couple of things, neat things that we talked about in our teaching team was the connection with being the beloved Son of God, Jesus is, and then the Holy Spirit coming upon him. What implications do you think that has for the believer also, as you think about God calling the Son, his beloved, and then the Spirit coming upon him?
Well, you make the connection again with that act of obedience or in Jesus's obedience. And we, when we become believers or we're in Christ, we're united with Christ. And so, because God is well pleased with Jesus, through our faith in Jesus, we are now pleasing to the Father. So we're united with Jesus. We're found in Christ is oftentimes how the New Testament author will present it. And so his righteousness becomes our righteousness. We are acceptable to the Father through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In the text itself in Matthew, I find it interesting that baptism is really only mentioned here and at the Great Commission. And baptism isn't so much really talked about throughout the rest of Matthew. And, you know, Matthew's very conservative with his descriptions and his language, like very intentional. And I think that says something very powerful about what you're talking about, Blair, is that you have Jesus being baptized, you have the Father, right, declaring, you know, the sonship and the belovedness of God the Son, Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus, beginning his ministry. And then you have the resurrected Jesus commissioning his disciples, telling them to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And like you were saying, Dewey, what this is a picture of is the believer's baptism as a Christian is a picture of us being united to Christ. And just as Jesus, right, was united, God was his Father, the Holy Spirit was indwelt in his life and empowered his life in ministry. In the same way as us being in the Son, that we are, you know, I guess, lowercase sons of God, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're beloved by God. We have a relationship with God because of what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit's indwelling us. We are living this new life. And Christian baptism doesn't make that happen, but it's a picture of that, of being true because you're united with Christ through faith.
And you've said this before, Dave, that then baptism becomes a celebration of that great truth. And so it's an opportunity to celebrate the gospel.
It's a fulfillment of John's ministry too, because John the Baptist said, one is coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and with fire. And so we see Jesus baptizing believers with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens then and then now with conversion. And so there's neat connections there that we discovered in our teaching team too. So. All right, let's dig more into, now that we've covered some of the highlights of the scripture, let's dig more into to baptism. Obviously, Jesus' baptism was something completely other, and we see these different elements of the identification of Jesus as Messiah by the Father to the fulfillment also of prophecies like Psalm 2, this is my beloved Son, and then also Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Which talks about, I delight in him and I'll put my spirit upon him. So all that is coming together. And I love how Matthew brings it together and says, this is the Messiah. He's been nailing that from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. This is the Messiah who's come.
Can I add one more verse?
Yeah, go for it.
This stood out to me. So, you know, beginning of Matthew starts with the Son of God, or the Son of David and the Son of Abraham, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you think of a first century Jew witnessing this or reading this or listening to this. So here's the anointing of David in 1 Samuel 16:13 reads like this. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Awesome.
So here you got this picture of, you know, the inauguration of King David, right, in this anointing.
Yep.
And even Samuel being the reluctant prophet that wouldn't have chose David in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the reluctant John the Baptist. Yeah. Like, why are you having me baptize him? But then the wording of the Spirit of God coming down and resting on Jesus is very much this picture of, whoa, that's the Son of David.
That's neat. Yeah, so I didn't do this in my sermon. I wanted to, but I just didn't have time. But I drew out a picture of multiple streams that all end up in like the lake, and the lake is Jesus. And you got these streams about David, Abraham, John the Baptist, the Spirit all coming down and finding their fulfillment in Jesus.
Yeah, you could probably drown in that.
Yeah.
Like Matthew is just so...
Drown in that.
Yeah, you can get baptized in that. Matthew is just so layered.
Layered, yeah.
With so many, because there's not just Old Testament quotations, but there's Old Testament allusions and illustrations and pictures, and just makes you want to swim in it and drown.
All right, let's turn to more when people think about their own baptism. We've been in ministry, privileged to be in ministry for long enough to have heard people's questions or concerns about their baptism or what they're thinking about. So let's answer some of those today. So let's start with a couple of big categories. What is believer's baptism? How would you explain that to someone? Dewey, give that a shot.
Okay. Believer's baptism is a illustration of the gospel. So it's coming post-conversion. So after I come to Christ in faith, so we believe we're saved by grace through faith, and baptism is an obedience post-conversion illustrating, or as I said before, Dave, we've talked about this, celebrating the gospel, that gospel truth. So in Romans 6, we're buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. So it's a picture of literally the gospel and the work of Jesus in our life. So I've died to sin. I've been buried. I'm dead. I'm no longer... identified as someone who is living as a sinner, as far away from God. I am raised, and I've been given new life to walk in Christ. And so we illustrate that through baptism, an actual event where we, in our church, we submerge somebody underwater and we bring them out.
Awesome. Great explanation. That would be the opposite would be like infant baptism or pedo baptism, where children are baptized pre-faith. We baptize children, but just based on a profession of faith as in cooperation with their parents. But infant baptism would be more of like a covenantal view that they're brought into the family, hopefully the family of faith, hopefully to have personal faith on in the future. But we see a clear pattern in the New Testament at our church of faith first, then baptism, like an Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 8 type model. Okay. What else were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to note that there's two streams of paedobaptism, right? So in more mainline or traditional denominations, you might baptize a child not into the covenant family, which would be more of a Presbyterian kind of understanding of baptism. It might be that you're baptizing, it's a sign of regeneration, or actually it's a, they're literally saved at baptism. Mm-hmm. So there's an Orthodox,
more like a Catholic view, is it what you're talking about?
Yeah, there would be more of an Orthodox Christian view of baptizing children, but then our view here would be more believer's baptism. Yes. Which is baptizing somebody who has been converted,
saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
Not through baptism. Okay, so let's dig in. I don't have to get baptized to be saved, so I'm not going to get baptized. So respond to me.
So here's what it means to be saved, that it's through faith alone in Jesus. And if you're in Christ because of your trust in Jesus, right, you're united with Christ. It means that you're in his righteousness, that you're covered with his perfect position before God. It means God is now truly your Father, that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and you are this new creation. Baptism is a picture of that. Baptism is an opportunity to celebrate outwardly, inwardly, the truth of your position in Christ. So would you want to celebrate that? And so it's not, the question probably shouldn't be, should I get baptized? But almost like, you know, like the Ethiopian eunuch, would prevent me? Like, mm-hmm. is there a reason why I can't celebrate my identity in Christ? Mm-hmm. And baptism is the way to do that.
Yeah. In my sermon yesterday, I ended that what valid excuse do you have mm-hmm. to keep you from being baptized? So, all right, here's another one. I want to get baptized to be saved. So instead of I don't have to get baptized to be saved, I want to get baptized to be saved.
Well, how do you know you're doing it right? Like, I mean, when we start,
I'm even more frightened now that you asked that question. Yeah.
So did you get enough water? Did all your body get covered? I mean, like, so whenever you start to get into works that you have to do, how do you know you do them right? And how do you know you do enough? And did the right person, were they clean?
Yeah, right.
It just gets into a really, and we don't see that in scripture. Even when Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2, they're cut to the heart. What do we have to do to be saved? And Peter responds, believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And some people will point to that and they say, well, see, there it is. Believe
repent,
and
yeah. repent
and baptized. Be baptized, right? There you have it. But I think it was Wayne Grudem who said it in his systematic theology.
Yes.
He articulated that in the Greek is, it's on the basis of your repentance, and we believe faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. On the basis of your repentance, be baptized. And so even there, you see the construct is salvation or conversion and then baptism.
Well, even later, the next verse. So those who receive the word were baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a question of
the word.
They received the word of what? The gospel, right? Mm-hmm. So they received the gospel.
Yeah, verse 41. Yeah.
Verse 41, their response was to be baptized. Yeah. So yeah, it's a response to the good news about Jesus by repentance and faith, by receiving the word, by receiving the message. And then that's that outward picture. And even in that verse, it's talking about too, the, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then this gift isn't just intended for you. It's going to go on to the nations and to those, to your children and those who are far off.
I was baptized as an infant. So should I get baptized again? We get that often, right? People coming out of different
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Denominations or church traditions. Or they'll say, you know, I was baptized in infant. I don't think I need to get baptized again.
I think go back to our basic definition of baptism. If baptism is a outward picture of your union with Christ, that you're united with Christ by faith, and it's a celebration of that, then if you're baptized as an infant, you didn't get to celebrate your union with Christ.
Yeah.
It was some kind of water ritual, you know, tied to a tradition, but it wasn't a true celebration of your position in Christ because of your personal faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you should get baptized if you want to celebrate your position in Christ.
Here's another one. What if I were, and this might be people coming out of certain traditions, maybe back to the baptismal regeneration, people that teach that. What if I die and I'm not baptized? Where will I go? Because some people get a lot of pressure to baptize their children or the grandkids. Make sure they get baptized coming out of some of these traditions, right?
Again, we believe Scripture is teaching that a regeneration happens as a work of grace in our life and results in faith and repentance, or repentance and faith. And subsequent to that, we should be baptized. But we're not saying that baptism is means of regeneration, right? Again, if we are regenerated by a work, by something that we do, how do we know we do it well enough? And right, which opens up a whole another challenge with interpreting Scripture, because nowhere in Scripture do we see that we're saved by something we do, we earn, we gain. So, to the person that's out there that maybe, you know, didn't get baptized and they had a loved one that passed and it's like, oh, they weren't baptized. Well, we're not saved by that.
Yeah, that's not the gospel.
It's not the gospel. It's a celebration of our union with Christ. Yes, it is something we do, but just like we would do any other good work, we do that as a result of what Christ has done in us.
I think you just see that in the New Testament. Baptism is always used in the passive tense, right? You were baptized, right? You received baptism. It's not something you did. And what's not celebrated in the New Testament is celebrating the decision to get baptized. What's celebrated is your union with Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's not even the decision to get baptized, right, that has anything with it. So it's not the act itself. It's not the decision, right? It's like, oh, you made the good decision. That's an extra brownie point in heaven. It's like, no, it's like salvation is by faith alone. And so, as you're saying, Dewey, like, so this is a picture of something that God already did. Mm-hmm. And you know that because you have faith in Jesus.
All right. Here's another one that I anticipate, and I think I've heard it too. So, hey, I'd love to get baptized, but you know what? At your church, at my church, Living Hope Church, you guys make people give testimonies before they get baptized. I just can't speak well in front of people, and I'm scared to death to give a testimony. So I'm not, that's what's holding me back from getting baptized.
Well, I think that's helpful. That's my 8-year-old son right now.
Okay.
So he wants to get baptized. Mm-hmm. He understands the gospel. And he said, I have stage fright.
All right.
Yeah. I think I would ask him, are you trusting Jesus alone for your salvation? Mm-hmm. And they say, yes. Okay, let's get baptized.
Right, yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You don't have to be eloquent to be baptized. I think another joy of baptism is not only are you celebrating your union with Christ, you're inviting the congregation to celebrate that union with Christ. So when you do share, you can edify the congregation, the church, and profess Christ, but your baptism is your testimony.
Yes.
You are identifying with Jesus, not for salvation, don't misunderstand, but what you're doing is you're saying, I'm with Christ, and everybody witnesses that. Mm-hmm. And so to this person who has stage fright, I would say, look, you know, do you identify with Jesus? Or we'll read your testimony for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be eloquent to get up to be obedient to Jesus.
Yep.
It's kind of like you're throwing a party. It's like if you really want to celebrate something, like you want to remove any barriers, right? That would actually keep us from actually celebrating like your testimony, right? That you have faith in Jesus and this inward reality, right? Of your union with Christ. So again, it's like, yeah, we'll read it for you. Or what do we need to do? Right.
Yeah.
So that we can truly celebrate with this. Cause it's not about, it's not primarily about the decision. It's not about the venue. It's not about how big the crowd is. It's about like brothers and sisters in Christ celebrating with you, right? This new life that you have because of your faith. And this is a moment to celebrate that.
Yeah.
So let's figure out how we could do that.
Yeah. I as a pastor and someone who's been gifted, I don't say in a proud way, just how I'm made, I can talk in front of people. So what I tend to do, and we tend to do this maybe with our own spiritual gifts, is why doesn't everybody do it like I do? Mm-hmm. Like I can speak in front of people. So I tend to forget that that's not necessarily everybody else's gift. And so I have to remember that the baptism itself is the testimony. And there's different ways of going around that. Funny story is a guy named Mike, he's gone on to heaven now, but he beforehand he was like, ah, pastor, I don't think I can speak this. I was like, no problem. I'll read it for you when you get up there. So it was his turn to get baptized. He came up. He's like, I think I'm going to do it. So then he spoke and he gave his testimony. It was really neat. So somewhere in maybe, I don't know, 20 to 30 minutes before he got baptized, he thought, I'm going to do it. I'm going to share my testimony. So I thought that was pretty neat. We've also had some special cases here. One guy that we baptized, I think it was you and me, Dewey, he's hydrophobic, like for real, scared of water. But he mustered up the strength. Oh, and he's a very introverted fellow also. But he did give his testimony, and he did get baptized in water, like immersion. Wow. So he overcame those moments to identify with Christ, and it was an encouragement to the congregation. Now, the congregation didn't know, you know, that he was shy that way, as well as hydrophobic. But another one we had where we maybe have health problems, people maybe have a disability or whatever. We've chosen alternate venues to make it easier for them. One young person just was super duper shy. Like it was a real present a problem for this person. So we asked a person close to the church who had a pool, say, hey, can we borrow your pool after church? And we gathered a small crowd, maybe 15 people, 20 people who came down, part of the small group and et cetera. And, shared her testimony and was baptized there. So we don't want to hinder people from becoming baptized or being baptized because of a, you know, we traditionally share a testimony, those types of things. So what else, any other word
just,
on that?
I'm thinking as we talk here, just about this idea of our union with Christ, celebrating our union with Christ. And it's an opening up more of, there's an element of obedience here. Jesus calls us to be baptized, and I think it also underscores, as Christians, when we're really changed from the inside, we desire, we want to obey, and so obedience isn't like this top-down authoritarian, like, do this in order to be saved, or do this, you know, or you're going to be cast out of the kingdom. It's no, I want to be obedient to Jesus. How can I be obedient to Jesus? What am I? And that might be a process. There might be obstacles we have to overcome in our flesh or our just our weaknesses, our physical weaknesses or our just fear of people or whatever. But we still at our heart desire to obey.
Yeah, we've had that conversation a number of times on this podcast, right? Why do Christians obey the commands of Jesus? It's because of who we are now.
Yeah, we're changed. Right?
Yeah, it's not for any reason. It's because, yeah, we have a new heart too. Mm-hmm. And so baptism's the same thing. It's like the whole do I have to get baptized language, I have so much issue with that because it's almost like it's this prerequisite to something else. It's not. It's a response to this reality of your faith. Mm-hmm.
All right, here's a couple more scenarios. I was baptized as a believer, but I lived a long time in active rebellion. God's brought me back now to walking with Him. I have a deeper understanding of the gospel. So do I need to get baptized again? I feel like I should. What do I do?
I might kick it back to you.
Okay.
So I would just say, when you did get baptized, was it was it, you know, did you trust in Jesus for salvation, right? Was your faith squarely on him? And that's why you got baptized. It doesn't mean you fully understood as much as you do now about the riches of what it means to be right. But did you have, you know, that kernel of I want to follow Jesus. I trust in Jesus. He saved me. I want to obey him and get baptized. That's what I want. Yeah. If you said yes to that, then that means that at that moment, that baptism, that was the celebration of that you're united with Christ by faith. Mm-hmm. And do believers sometimes say to Jesus, take a hike and walk in active rebellion against him?
Yeah,
that happens. But also, was God faithful to chase you down and to bring you back?
And discipline you.
Yeah. So I would say, like, look, if you really were baptized and you really did trust Jesus and maybe you know more about the depths of the grace of God because he chased you down after rebellion, you already put on that jersey. Hmm. So you don't need to put it on again. Mm-hmm. What you get to do is you get to actually wear that uniform with pride now,
yeah.
Right? Because, yeah.
Which in reality, a lot of times we might get, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I was really saved.
My life didn't give evidence of it.
And so I would start to explore that more. If they were not really believers and they really weren't identifying with Christ and it was like, yeah, I thought if I did that, I could get in good with God, or it was just what the church was encouraging us to do, I would say, okay, let's explore this. When did your faith really start? And then there might be grounds for that person being, I'm going to say it this way, baptized, right. Not rebaptized.
Not rebaptized, baptized. Yeah.
They're getting baptized because, again,
true sense of the word biblically.
Yeah. We're staying consistent with our definition. It's post-conversion.
I think with that too, there needs to be a clear understanding of what sanctification looks like.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So it doesn't look like you're always growing in obedience.
Right. Or growing in more depth of theology. Like,
yes,
I think so. We would really want to understand. Yeah. They would need to be able to articulate. I never really was a believer.
Mm-hmm. We had a scenario like that one time, a young person, was baptized young, did live for the world, and regretted and repented of that and felt like they wanted to get baptized again. I explored it with them, but they said, no, I truly was a believer when I was baptized. What I did have that person do is give a testimony that day. She was not baptized, but just said, this is my recommitment. I didn't live the way I wanted. I should have, and I'm recommitting my life to following Christ more faithfully. I think that was healthy for that person to put a stake in the ground, and it was an encouragement to the church. So we had baptisms that day, and I just had that person share the testimony along with others and explained it too. So,
and just along with your questions, I think this underscores maybe, like for me with my children, I'm not encouraging them to get baptized at too early of an age. I want them to understand because I myself was baptized at an earlier age. I've talked to enough people where it's like, should I get baptized again? Well, tell me your story. Well, I accepted Christ when I was 5 and, you know, and then I was baptized at 7 and then I had this really long gap where it got really foggy.
Yeah.
And, well, was it authentic? I don't really remember. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some value there. You don't obviously have to have all your theology in line, but I think there needs to be, like you said with your son, Dave, he understands the gospel. And then, you know, he wants to be baptized. He needs to remember that. And then your job might become to remind him of that clear process and rehearse that story with him. So I think there's some wisdom that needs to be exercised by parents who have young children.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. When we do, if child expresses a desire to be baptized, our children's pastor, Pastor Doug, or any of us who field that, we really rely on the parents to walk them through the biblical scriptures about what is baptism. You know, do you think they get it? Do you see some evidence of repentance in their life at their level, etc.? Really relying on the discipleship in the home for that. Here's another scenario, and then we'll shift gears as we close things down here. But my church says I need to get baptized into their church. I was baptized previously, but I have to do it in this church. How should I respond to that?
So this is
I just pointed at Dave.
Yeah, you pointed at me. So
throw you under the bus.
This is
it's your turn.
So there's some streams, especially Baptists. Not all of them, but some Baptists kind of have this view of, you know, I think it's, you know, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're all baptized into one body, or baptized into the body of Christ, or baptized into the church. Again, those passages are pointing to or being baptized into Christ. It's again about your union right with Christ.
Jesus, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But what some people do is like, oh, if you're baptized into the church, that means you're baptized into the local church. And so what they do is they blow up, they conflate, and they have baptism merge with church membership. And then again, then that makes baptism then a prerequisite to becoming a member of a church.
Mm-hmm.
So the danger of that is that it does kind of confuse really what are we celebrating here? Are we celebrating that this person's united with the body of Christ, the church, they're in Christ, or that they've joined our church?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to that person, I would just say, look, open up the Bible, follow your conscience on this. But I've known plenty of people who felt pressured to get baptized in order to join the church. And that's not the right motivation, mm-hmm. I would argue, from Scripture.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think baptized into Christ
yeah.
is your big thing versus baptized into that denomination or that local church too. So
there might be a way that you can walk humbly with under the leadership of your pastor and
yeah.
work through that sort of stuff. But it is a sticking point.
Well, good discussion. Hey, one last question as we wind down. Where are some places that you've baptized people or witnessed baptisms? We've obviously, in the churches I've been part of, we have a baptismal tank here at Living Hope Church. We pull it out as needed, portable tank, movable. When I was in Michigan, we baptized in Lake Michigan, so that was exciting. We typically, per year, have 20 people or so, and they do testimonies. We go out in a lake and get baptized. A pool. Oh, a few years ago, we did the YMCA.
That was fun.
Yeah, because our church started at the YMCA and they used to, you know, use the pool when there was baptism. So it was neat having been out of the YMCA for, you know, 15 years or so, or I forget exactly the time. We went back and I guess it'd been over 20 years. We went back and celebrated our 30th anniversary at the Y, and we had, I don't know how many baptisms, 10 or so. That was fun. Where else have you guys done baptisms or witnessed them?
In mud.
Okay.
So it was dry season in India, uh-huh. and there's this father and daughter who really wanted to be baptized. So we went all day looking for water,
mm-hmm.
and it was dry. We found one spot in the river where there was some mud collected enough. There's some water on top, and so we submerged them into the muddy water.
Wow.
And they came out stinking, but very happy.
Baptized.
A pond.
Okay.
Pool. Different sizes of tanks.
Not the Blanchard River.
I haven't done it in Blanchard River. I've heard of people doing
it. Sister Church Lighthouse did Blanchard River.
Oh, that's brave.
Locally, we're like, wow, so. Hopefully they got hosed down afterwards. Wash it off. But
yeah.
Well, good. Hey, great discussion today on some practical things. Maybe this has raised questions in your mind as you've listened. Feel free to reach out to us as church leaders and talk about your particular story, or if you're part of a good Bible teaching church, reach out to your pastors there too. But as we look at Jesus' baptism and the identification of him as the Son of God, and then we think about, as we go throughout the book of Matthew, especially Matthew 28, disciples of Jesus are those who are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who are taught to obey everything that he commanded. So we thought we'd take a stab at some more practical questions today regarding baptism. So I also encourage you, if you have been baptized, it's good for us to revisit that from time to time, to remember, you know, the devotion that we felt and that motivated to us to be baptized and to identify with Jesus, to rehearse the sweetness of the good news of Jesus and his love for us. So hopefully this has been encouraging to you today. Next week, guys, we'll dive into, we're using all these water metaphors today, diving, streams, swimming. We're going to get into Jesus' temptation in the desert. So some good stuff there.
Look forward to drowning in that.
Oh, well done. On that note, join us again We'll talk to you next week. Living Hope Finley Podcast.